is the anthem of the adventurer. The show for men who are tired of forsaking their dreams, who are willing to risk, to dare greatly, and know in their soul that their desire for adventure is good. It's time to venture into the wild places in our hearts. Here's your host, Dan Sayner.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm your host, Dan Sayner, and got a little bit of an announcement. Well, not a little bit of an announcement, a pretty big announcement before we get into our episode for today. There are only 6 episodes left in this show. That may come to a shock for some of you. Sorry, Mom. But it is for a very good reason. I am starting to write a book and wanting to practice what I preach in terms of eliminating hurry from my life. And as you've probably noticed, I haven't published a podcast in a couple of months because I have been in a bit of a hurry and I don't like that. So we're going to release the next few interviews here over the course of November and December and finish up before the new year with one final episode. Just kind of me giving you some thoughts on the past tens of interviews. I was trying to count in my head, never do math in public, but all the amazing guests that I've met, lessons that I've learned, and where we're going next. A little bit about the book. Spoiler alert, it's only part of the way written, which is why I'm taking a long hiatus from the podcast and wanted to let you guys know about that so that you're not just wondering where I'm at for all of 2022, which is my intention. So with that out of the way, make sure that you subscribe to our email list and follow us on Instagram because our team will still be posting blogs. I'll probably be posting some writing from the book as I get it out. So you're going to want to make sure to follow along with that. It's really amazing. Natalie, Armando, Jeff, we've got some other writers who are interested in joining our team. They are putting out some amazing work and really deserve all the credit for what they're doing in the world for the kingdom. And I think you will really enjoy what they're putting together if you haven't followed us already. So head over to our website, anthemoftheadventurer.com. Hit that button to join our email list. All right. Today, we don't have a huge celebrity for you. So, you know, if you like that kind of thing, you can turn this podcast off, but I would encourage you to listen in for a little bit of inside baseball. Honestly, this is a man that I've known for about 4 years now. And for 3 of those years, he and I have literally talked almost every weekday afternoon as we wrap up our workday. Now, just think about that. Most of you don't even talk to your own family that much. No judgment, but let's just be honest here. And what this is, just a peek inside of what really good male friendship looks like. Joe and I have been good friends for quite a while, and he's a guy who's in a different stage of life than I am. He's got a few more miles on the odometer than I do. He wouldn't feel bad about me saying that about him. He is a wise king on his way to the sage stage, and man, I just love being in his orbit, in his presence. He has a positive effect on my soul, and I have the same on him in my own ways. So we really enjoy being around each other, which you'll hear a lot of in this interview. But Joe especially has a really great way about him of showing up as that salt and light that we talk about in the New Testament, of just being a positive effect for the kingdom of God wherever he goes. He makes things more tasty, more flavorful. He makes darkness more bright and points people towards Christ. And he's not ashamed about that. He's not a pastor, although he has been previously. He's not a preacher, although he does have a very good speaking voice and wise counsel. He's not a counselor and doesn't play one on TV. He's just an engineer. I say just an engineer. He's a fantastic engineer. He does a great work in his profession and shows by example what it really means to work in everything you do as if it were for the Lord, whether it's selling automation equipment or playing his bass on stage or being a husband and father. Joe brings it all everywhere he goes. And I really appreciate his friendship, his counsel, and his time over the years. So enjoy this interview with one of my closest friends, Joe Bailey. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventure. So glad you could join us today. We've got my good friend, Joe Bailey, Uncle Joe. Man, good to see you, buddy.
Dan, so thank you so much for inviting me to do this with you, buddy. I'm going to tell you, other than the Q&As that I have done with a mutual friend of ours, right? This is the first podcast interview I've ever done.
It's mind-boggling to me because you're one of the things I appreciate about you is just your depth of wisdom delivered in a buttery smooth Southern accent.
I cannot take credit for the buttery smooth Southern accent or the wisdom. Both of those were given to me by my creator, I believe.
So yeah. So man, with that, I know you have a really good challenge that's going to lead us towards our creator here. So what do you got for us this morning that is going to be something we can do in the next week?
All right. So you had asked me to provide your listeners with a challenge. And my thought was for your listeners, just take some time this week, you know, each morning, to start each morning, taking a little bit of time to ponder the simplicity of the gospel. Why the gospel was a word that simply it meant a reward that was given to somebody who brought good news, right? That's why it's associated with good news. But the simplicity of the good news of Jesus, and I want us to ponder that, because of all of the offerings that religion makes to mankind, this message is the only one that tells us the truth. It's the only one that tells us the truth about ourselves. Most religious orders will say, yes, there is a problem, and here you need to do these things, and you need to do them religiously in order to keep yourself, to remedy yourself of the issue or the problem, right? And then there's a lot of thought and new age. I say it's new age, it's old age. It's just old age wrapped up in a new wrapping that says there is no problem. You don't have a problem, and ignore it and don't listen to anybody else saying that you've got an issue, right? But the gospel says, yes, you have an issue and you are not the solution. And a father that loves you because you're human, not because you're good, but because you're human, has made a way for you. And all you have to do is believe. Guilt and performance anxiety and shame often stand in the way of us standing in the freedom and the power of that message. I would challenge your listeners, if they really want to step into freedom and learn how to have true adventure in the soul. Because quite honestly, Dan, if adventure is not living inside your internal state, it will not manifest well in your external state. Right. And so I would ask your listeners, ponder the simplicity of this message and ask yourself, do I believe it? And am I standing in it?
Yeah. And what I hear you say is not, all right, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this week. Like, though that would be good, is not to, you know, give yourself a legalistic challenge of, okay, now you got to go memorize, you know, the entire book of Matthew. But though that would be good, to do. Sure,
I mean, nothing wrong with that, right? And, you know, and those were all accounts of the same, you know, message, right? But I think we miss the beauty of it because we get so tied up in the work of it, right?
I know for me, you know, growing up in the church, it was like, you know, the Awana program, though it was a good program, you know, just got me to thinking, okay, the Bible is just there so I could memorize it for competitions and for, you know, those moments when I need it, like to prove something. And man, I missed a lot of the beauty of the gospel by making it into a competition, by making it into a rigor and a discipline focused on performance.
Yeah, this is the struggle that most people have in the Western church today, is that we don't like, but in the Western civilization, we value individualism. And we like to know that most people like to know I've earned my way, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's given me nothing, right? I'm a self-made man or a self-made woman, right? That's highly valued in our society, right? And we can't help but bring that same self-protecting, self-grandizing mentality, because it's deeply rooted in our culture and in our own and in our mindset. We can't help but bring that to the gospel, right? And so we're like, oh, this sounds like great stuff. But okay, even if I can't do anything to get it initially, then after I get it, I could do all of these things as
prove
a way
that I got it.
That's right, to prove that I got it, right? Or to continue to earn it, right?
Yeah.
And that's just not the freedom. That's not good news to me.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and learning how to embrace just the simplicity of it and learn to live in it and wake up each morning and go, holy smokes, I am loved and was loved even when I was at my worst. I read something this morning, Dan, and it struck me. And it said, God is never wakes up one morning and is disappointed in something that you did, because he has known you completely from beginning to end at your best and at your worst. And he still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
There's never anything that we do that surprises him. Right. And so we'll have these moments where we just feel like, holy smokes, I have messed up. I have screwed it. I just messed everything up. Right. And we start to just completely and totally just unravel. Our faith starts to unravel because I'm just not good enough. I can't hack this. I can't do this, right? All these other people, you know, that are wearing their masks at church and on Facebook and their lives are perfect, right? And I see that and I'm comparing myself to that and going, good grief, I stink at this, right? All the while, God's like, are you kidding me? I knew all of this about you while you still hated me. While you still wanted nothing to do with me, I knew all of this about you, and I still love you. Man, if we could ever embrace that, you can be about as free as you want to be. I think that's what I love about what Jesus said when Jesus said, you know, you'll know the truth. And when you do, that truth will really set you free.
Mm.
You know, for me, Dan, adventure is about being grounded in true freedom. Right. And
yeah,
that's where it starts for me. And you know this about me. Okay. You know,
yeah.
You know who I am. This is where it starts for me. Right.
Yeah. So
it,
for
it
those who,
right here,
those who don't know you as well as I do, who are you? What are you about? What's some of your story?
Oh man. Who am I? Okay. I'm a 50, soon to be 56 year old man who is married to an amazing woman, Ivy, and we have five children. I'm expecting my first two grandchildren next week. My daughter-in-law and my daughter are both pregnant and expecting to deliver within a week of each other.
Wow.
I am by day, I'm an automation engineer for a large welding company here in the U.S. and it's been a great job. Provides for my family very well. I am a competitive archer. I'm a two-time IBO world champion in the traditional archery classes. And that's just single string bow, you know, stick, string, arrow, no sights, nothing else. Right. That's
nothing fancy.
I've been a professional musician, a working musician most of my adult life. And I still do that. I will be doing that this weekend. Right. And those are things that I enjoy. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my marriage. I enjoy archery. I enjoy music. But who I really am is deep down inside of myself is, man, I am a beloved son. I'm a beloved son of the one true God. And I'm crazy devoted follower of Jesus. And that typifies who I am more than anything. And there's so much that's encapsulated in that for me, Dan, of living my life each day, not going around and preaching the gospel and telling people what they're supposed to do and do this, don't do that, you know?
Yeah.
But living it, right?
Yeah. Was it, I can't remember if it was Augustine or Assisi, one of those old saints who said, well, I preach the gospel everywhere I go, and sometimes I use words.
Yes. So that would resonate with me, right? You know, the concept of being salt and light. And I'm a man that is still I'm still being formed, right? I'm completely and totally unfinished, right? But I at least know I'm on the path, and that I feel like that I'm being finished a little bit more each day, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I recognize that my relationship with Christ, which completely defines me as a man, is something I have to fight for every day. Right? I mean, I have to fight for prayer time. I have to fight for alone time. I have to fight for that space inside my brain.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a diligence that has to come along with that. And I have found that because my walk with Christ has become so conversational, that is something I just can't hardly do without. So the fight for it becomes something I'm completely and totally willing to do. And so at the heart of who I am, I'm just a man who has been completely and totally changed by the message, the simple message of the gospel, and is now taking to heart that he had given me a task. People call it the Great Commission, right?
Yeah.
It's his mission and it's his heart. And I'm broken in my heart because men in this country have abandoned the gospel because of the experience they've had in the church.
Yeah.
You know, and we have made masculinity some kind of like weak, soft, milquetoast, like most putrid thing you could possibly think of. What man would want to be like that? And Jesus was when he was here in body, the most masculine of men you could possibly imagine. And what drives me and what I do, Dan, is I want to reintroduce men to the masculinity of Christ and the masculinity that is in the gospel. And invite men into find that there is excitement and adventure, and that this is like the most compelling story you could possibly ever imagine. And it's completely worth following and stepping into. So, All right. Long answer to tell you who I am, but there we go.
You know, it's funny. I've been listening to the Lord of the Rings on audiobook because I've had a lot of time behind the wheel and under a ruck lately. And what just struck me is that you introduced yourself kind of like an int would, you know, like here's my story. You know, it takes a little while to tell, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I want people to get a grasp of, I am not just what I do.
Yeah. Which is really big thing, and it was something that we talk about a lot in the circles that you and I run in, but is uncommon these days. It's, you know, usually the first thing that comes up when you ask a guy who he is what he does for a profession. Or, you know, maybe if he's a little bit more introspective about that kind of thing, he'll talk about his family or things he enjoys, but it doesn't get down to that beloved son, that committed follower of Christ piece. Rarely ever. So yeah, it's good, man.
I think that, especially here in Western civilization, we've made it, we feel empty sometimes because we don't know our true identities. We wrap our identities up in our doing, mm-hmm. and we just completely and totally forget about what it means to be a human being.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy making to me. Like I just very recently either re-remembered or rediscovered somehow that Paul was a tent maker. Like the guy who was the most prodigious evangelist for Christ and writer of some of the most influential books of the New Testament was a tent maker. And there's one little line in the New Testament about that, about what he did. The rest is all about who he was and his effect on people.
Absolutely. And to think that he was a tent maker, but he was also a tremendous scholar because he had studied under one of the greatest rabbis of that day.
Yeah.
Right. He was considered, he even called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews, right?
Yeah.
And yet he humbled himself to be a tent maker and use that skill, that trade that he had, quite honestly, to fund his, fund his true mission in life. And that was to spread the simplicity of the message of the gospel.
Yeah. Mm. One of the things that's always struck me about our conversations is that focus on the heart and not the external. Especially in the context of, I mean, all the adventures that you've had through archery, through music, like with those kinds of things for you, where there's an element of, you know, needing to persevere through difficult circumstances towards fulfillment on the other side. Does that always start in the heart for you, or does sometimes the heart follow afterwards, or where does that land?
It did not always start in the heart for me. As a matter of fact, part of the story that I left out was the 2 decades of crashing and burning that I had before I found peace. Right. Because it didn't start in the heart. Literally. And, you know, I've got a tattoo on my arm here that says aim for the heart. Right. And that is like a motto for me. And that pursuit of that understanding of you know, you and I are involved in coaching and doing life with other men. Right. On a pretty regular basis. And I tell my guys all the time that your inner world, your outer world, what's going on outside of you will always be a reflection of what's going on inside of you. If what's going on inside of you is a hot mess, your outside world will always be a hot mess. If you don't have peace inside, you cannot have world peace until there is inner peace, period. Right? That was something that took me, I mean, I went 2 decades of just like living in the whirlwind. And things just constantly, constant pain, constant sorrow, constant trouble, you know, and I did, I would rage against it instead of looking at it and going, oh my gosh, these are wake up calls for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And eventually God brought somebody into my life that started sharing, that started helping me to find healing in my heart and helping me to understand that this is where it started. You know, Solomon said to guard the heart I mean, guard it with everything you've got, because out of it come all of the issues of life. Now, he was touted as being like the wisest man ever to live on the planet, that there would never be anybody after him that would be as wise as he was. So if he felt like it started in the heart, then maybe that's exactly where I needed to be focusing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, for a decade and a half now, that has been my focus, right? Getting my internal world settled, being curious about the wounds of my own heart, dragging those wounds out into the light, because any wound that's in the darkness never heals, so you got to be willing to drag those things out. And I found that to be the hardest work, Dan.
Yeah.
Going to the gym, okay, it stinks sometimes. Nobody likes it all the time, but that's, it's not that hard, right? Going to work every day, we do it because we have to, because we've come accustomed to living indoors and eating, right?
Yeah.
So we go do that. But man, exploring the depths of your own heart and your own soul. Because I have never met a person in my life, Dan, that did not have some form of trauma.
Yeah.
And trauma ignored will continue to express itself in everything that's going on outside of you. And so, yes, for me, it starts there. And with the guys that I work with, it starts there. Let's start at the heart. Let's talk about the wounds that are sitting there that you keep ignoring. Stop rubbing dirt on them. They will not get better. Let's drag them out into the light and let's understand them and let's embrace them. And, does that mean when a wound closes that you don't? Absolutely not, man. I've got scars all over my heart. But they're scars. And you go punch a scar, you might feel a little pressure, but you don't feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
You go punch an open wound, you go into crazy reaction mode, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I would much rather have scars that have closed up than open wounds. So yes, for me, this is a heart issue. Everything for me starts with a heart issue.
Yeah. And so for you, how does that relate to this adventurous life that we all really want to have?
So for me, adventure, I think adventure has to first be something that is in the heart, right? I mean, sometimes we confuse adventure with adrenaline or thrill seeking, right? Adventure, and yes, I'm going to go jump off this bridge with a bungee cord tied to my feet, right? And the thrill of almost dying, or, the adrenaline that comes from that, or in the thrill seeking. And that's good and fine. I have done some of that. Probably won't do it twice, but but I have certainly, done my share of that, and it's certainly fun. But the problem with looking at adventure from that standpoint is it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the more adrenaline seeking and thrill seeking that you do, right, the more you have to keep upping the ante, right?
Yeah.
Because at some point you go, oh man, yeah, I've climbed 3 14ers, right? I'm bored with climbing 14ers. Or, I've water rafted, 5 rivers in the States, and I'm tired of what I'm doing this. It's a constant, let me look for the one up.
Mm-hmm.
Or how do I take my next adventure to that next level? Right. And for me, that doesn't feel sustainable. Adventure needs to be something that is almost here's one of the things, and you and I have talked about this before. I've started living my days without expectations, but with great expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So each day I'm expecting God to do something really cool, but I don't have a lot of expectations placed on it. And so for me, that day has a modicum of adventure in it. because I don't know what's coming. I don't know what challenges are coming. I don't know what hardships I may be faced with. I don't know what may be asked of me. And I know that there may be something that comes into my day that tests what I say, right? You know, you say that you're this kind of person. You say that you lead with love. You say that you're a man who follows, you know, that you're a man that aims for the heart before anything else. But then this situation comes into your life and it puts that to the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, that is to me, that is the adventure of life. And we tend to miss that, right?
Yeah. And we got to be careful what we ask for in that. Like, you say you want a life full of adventure. That means you're going to find yourself in a lot of sticky, unknown situations.
Oh, absolutely. And quite honestly, I have learned to rather than when I get into an unknown situation or a sticky situation or something that I'm just like, oh, I have no idea how to deal with this. Right. Rather than going into panic mode. Or even allow myself to get overly frustrated about the situation. I can't explain this, but there's just this something that goes on inside of me that's almost like a short breath in my soul that says, what's this? What does this hold for me?
Mm.
What is this? What does this tell me about myself?
Mm. Yeah.
What does this tell me about who I am? I mean, I had an instance like this just last night, right? And something came up and man, I just overreacted. And then I caught myself and I'm like, what is this? And then I realized it was tied to a wound that was attached to my oldest daughter.
Mm.
And because of relationship strain that happened between her and I because of a divorce. And I just had not allowed that to really work out in my heart.
Mm.
And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Here's an area that has been sitting in the bottom crevices of my heart that I haven't allowed to address. I haven't addressed it. And now you're bringing it to the forefront and I get to address this. And once we address this and we work through it, I become more wholehearted than I was the day before. To me, that is the adventure.
Yeah.
It's the journey towards wholeheartedness. Okay.
Yep.
That is the essence of adventure for me, Dan, is a journey towards wholeheartedness.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lifelong journey.
Yep. It's cool. Like it goes all the way back to Genesis, right? Of even though Adam had for a couple of minutes a perfect relationship with God, God still made things like snakes and waterfalls and jungle and, you know, rivers, white water, and said it was good. Like there was still wildness and unknown and wilderness in the perfectness of the garden. And so yeah, that's kind of that essence of, hey, we are trying to recover our heart and our relationship with God and enter into that wildness and wilderness with him.
You know, and one of the things I love about that, you know, I'm getting to the point, Dan, where we could talk about almost anything in the scriptures and I could take you back to the first three pages of the Bible.
Right.
Okay. You know, somewhere in those first three pages is the root of what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when God placed Adam in the garden and of course gave him, you know, Eve, he created order out of chaos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, that's what, you know, I think the Hebrew, I'll butcher it, but the Hebrew was like tohu va wohu or something like that, you know, from wild and waste. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he created order out of wild and waste. And what he did was, is he invited, our first parents to be co-creators in him in creating order out of the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To be part of that process of creating, right? From and bringing order. And learning how to, because he asked us to, he gave us dominion, right?
Yeah.
We'll have dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals on the planet and the, you know, go out and have dominion and rule and get involved in this process with me. Right. And I think that even today, right, we're still being invited into that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Into the process, God's inviting us into the process of creating order out of chaos. And that is, I mean, yes, I could look at the beauty that is around me. But until I understand that beauty and I've got something inside of me that allows me to even receive beauty, it's not going to be beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Right. And then there are some things, Dan, that we see in life, and I don't care how broken you are inside, the moment you see it, it immediately strikes something inside of you.
Yeah, there was a moment for me when I walk into the room that houses Monet's water lilies. And man, I never thought I'd be emotionally affected by a painting. But I shed a couple of tears when I walked in that room. Like, I mean, it's probably what, 30 yards across, or 30 yards long, maybe 10 yards wide, oval shaped room with these panels upon panels of diligently painted scenes over the course of, I don't know how many years, thousands of iterations. And just the attention to every minute detail was just incredible. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say there is, like, order doesn't necessarily mean a bunch of polished white stormtroopers in a row. Order doesn't necessarily mean straight lines and mitered corners. It's the way things ought to be, the way things were intended to be, functioning in the way of their original design.
Yeah, that is to me, is what order represents, is it functioning in its original design, right? Because there are a lot of things that don't function inside the original design, and they become less beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But like we're talking about, I mean, you can go see a grand waterfall, the mist pouring up and the sunlight making the rainbow inside the mist. And I don't care who you are, you know, how upset you are inside, how broken your inner world is, you're going to look at that and go, wow, that is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is nothing more than a reflection, a glint, a mere secondary moment reflection of the beauty of our Creator.
You know, that gets me kind of, as we kind of turn the corner around in the third for home here, of some kind of practical, tactical things we can do on a daily basis to turn ourselves back to that created order. And like today, if I'm honest, you know, I'm a bit out of order. You and I have talked about it at length the past couple of days. And one of the things that I think I may do later today is honestly just sit in front of some really nice 4K video of some nature and just sit there. So what are some things like that for you, is like reorienting to the real story within your heart?
You know, for me, I like to have some moments of just silence, just breathing, right? And just kind of listening to what's going on around me. Maybe it's the sound of my dog barking, you know, or the sound of the wind chimes outside of my window, or maybe it's the sound of my family moving around in the house, right? And just allow myself to absorb those just a little bit, and then there's a tremendous gratitude that comes from those things, right? And then I'll tell you, one of the most reorienting things, and my wife will tell you, I do this all the time. If you were to come in my backyard, there's literally, it looks like a deer path worn in my backyard. I have a shooting house. I basically have a small like barn that has my targets in it. And I've got about a 45 yard range, right? And if I need to reorient, I will go grab my bow. I'll go out into the yard. I'll get outside. I don't care what the weather's even like. And just smell the air, right? Feel the breeze, listen to the sounds, and just allow myself to go into this moment of just pure focus.
Mm.
And I have 10 minutes of that, and I don't care what's going on in my life. I have gotten reoriented.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and it's and I think that's different for everybody, Dan. You know, if I were to encourage anybody, I would say find those things that truly bring life. And you were created and given gifts and abilities and a passion for things. Find those things that you're passionate about. You know, Erwin McManus tells a story in his book, The Way of the Warrior, where he had been on a trip and he was worn out and he was so tired. And he walked into his house and his wife was wanting him to take the garbage out or something. He's just sitting down. He's like, oh, babe, can I just sit down for a second before I do this? I'm so tired. And then one of his buddies called him and said, hey, you want to go play basketball? And immediately this newfound energy just overwhelms him. And he's like getting up and getting ready to go. And she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. You were too tired to carry out the garbage. And now you've got strength to go play basketball. And it's because he had this huge passion attached to that, right? And you'll find no matter how you feel, no matter how worn out you are, if you'll find those things that are bringing passion and breathing life into you, if you'll just take a few minutes to get engaged in that, it totally reinvigorates the whole day. And again, focus, this is still is a heart matter, right? Because this your passion is tied to what makes you feel alive internally.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've engaged in that for just a little bit, and I think everybody, now look, if your passion's getting hammered, it's probably not a healthy passion, right?
Yeah.
Right. If your passion is getting involved in destructive behavior, you need to rethink that. So, cause I've had one guy say, well, my passion is, you know, drinking a fifth of Jack, my dude. That's a terrible passion. That's not a passion. That's a numbing exercise.
Yeah.
Right. That's not breathing life into you. It's squeezing it out of you.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we have to have a healthy understanding of what really breathes life into you. And then just get engaged in it.
Yeah. You know,
be curious and go find out what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we've been talking too about that, that's really the when we use the word adventure, that's what we mean. It's bringing life to your soul and the souls of others.
Yes. And quite honestly, until there's life inside of you, you cannot bring life outside of you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Oh, yeah.
My daughters, you know, when they were, so my youngest daughter, Lily, is 16 and she wants a boyfriend so bad. Jesus help me, please, Lord. So, and she has two friends that are here all the time and they're all the same age and they're all, you know, in that space where, you know, wanting to have relationships with boys. And there's a couple of times that they've gotten around some boys and the boys just basically kind of broke my daughter's heart. Right. And I was trying to figure a way, how do I help her understand what's going on here? So I'm cleaning up downstairs. And when I'm cleaning up downstairs, I find this big dead spider in the corner. And this is going to sound weird, but I thought, aha, here it is.
Here's the illustration I need. Yeah. Big old spider.
So, I grab this dead spider and I go lay it on the pool table downstairs. And I had $36 in my wallet, and I laid $36 down on the table next to the spider. And I called the three girls over there and I asked them, how much do you think this spider values this $36? They thought about it for a minute, like, what? How much?
I've been drinking.
How much do you think this spider values this $36? And one of the girls said, well, duh, nothing. He's dead. And I'm like, you're right. Because things that are dead can't value anything. And they can't bring value to anything. And young men whose hearts are not yet alive will never recognize the value of another person, especially not a young woman. And that if we're going to bring life, and we're going to understand the value of life around us and bring value to the life around us, the first has to be life inside of us.
Man, that's good. I keep telling you, you need to write a book, and like, I will keep telling you and until you do, but that needs to go in there. Man, that is good. Oh gosh. I just love spending time with you, Joe. And I'm looking forward to our afternoon chat later. for those of you who don't know, I mean, almost without fail, it's been 2 years now, hasn't it, Joe? Maybe more than 2 years.
At least it's been a little over 2 years.
A little over 2 years. We have talked just about every weekday afternoon. I mean, very few weeks have gone by where we haven't talked at least once. And that has been one of the joys of my heart, is getting to be mentored by this great man of God, and, you know, go through the good and the bad, and, you know, the times where both of us are in tears. And I just really appreciate that about you. And if you're listening and you don't have somebody like an Uncle Joe in your life, that would be something to pray for diligently.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I think one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave me was this desire to start seeking out mentors and just praying about it and asking him to bring mentors and other like-minded kings into my life. And that has been, oh man, that has been an oasis in a desert place for me many, many times. Right. The strong men that the Lord has brought into my life, and the relationship and the sharing that we have. Like, I mean, like, I don't always say, people may hear me talking and think, man, this guy's got his stuff together. Wrong. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe this morning, but that's not an always thing. Right.
Yeah.
And there are times when things are not going great. And my orientation will get completely, my compass will get all messed up, and I'll need to talk with Dan or another one of my brothers just to help me get my compass reoriented.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think when, as men, so that's another great part of the adventure of life. I think there's an adventure in finding your like-minded kings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. That search for those few guys.
And it's only ever going to be a few.
Yeah, it has to be. It can't be many. It needs to be three or four, you know, guys that you've got. Maybe you're lucky if you've got three or four. Jesus, yeah. You've got one or two, you're a blessed man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thankful. I am grateful because, you know, while I'm always willing to open my heart up to other men, and certainly want to pour myself into as many men as I possibly can, I'm thankful that I could, if I never built another relationship with another man, I could say today, I have some phenomenal relationships with some amazing men. And what a gift that is.
Yeah. Mm. I hear you, brother. Well, as we wrap up today, where can folks connect with you if they want to go a little bit deeper with Uncle Joe?
Oh, that's a great question, because, you know, I don't have much of a social media presence, right? You can find me on Facebook, right? You know, so if you look for, I mean, there's probably 1,000 Joe Baileys, but if you look for Joe Bailey and he's in Winchester, Tennessee, then you have found me, right? And then obviously, I am a bit of a fixture in the Dad Edge Alliance, right?
Yeah, you're part of the furniture.
Yeah, so you know, if you're looking to connect with other men, that is a great place to do it, and you can find me there. And I have recently started a YouTube channel that is called The Paladin Project. I launched a group where I currently have 47 men that are in this group with me, and we're doing it's really just like a discipleship intensive. I'm really walking these guys through right now. We're walking through the story of the gospel, because I feel like if you're not grounded in that, if you can't articulate what that is, you can't possibly hope to be effective or prosecute a war in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in often.
Yeah.
And so you could go find, I've got a few videos that I'm going to be continuing to build content there, on the YouTube channel called The Paladin Project. That's something I'm learning how to do, Dan, because I mean, I'm like, not like Mr. video editing tech savvy, right? And I am going to be, I just launched my first LLC.
All right.
And, that's called the Reman Initiative. And the idea is that we help men rediscover
awesome
true masculinity in, you know, as modeled, as created and modeled by Christ, by Jesus.
Love it.
And we're going to be launching a website soon. And I'm going to start developing content there for the Reman Initiative. So cool. You guys just keep your eyeballs out for that. And I'd love to connect with some of your listeners.
Excellent. Well, we'll put some links to those resources in the show notes for folks. And once the Reman Project is up, I'm sure we'll ask you to do a guest post on the blog, so we'll be able to link to you there. Man, Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure, and looking forward to continuing to do life with you, brother.
Dan, thank you so much. This has been a real honor for me. And I'm quite honestly, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that got fleshed out this morning.
Well, it's a good thing we prayed beforehand, because I'm not sure it would have been so great if we hadn't. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we had a really good listening prayer session before we started recording today, which I think helped orient us both quite well.
Absolutely. I love you, man. Thank you for giving me the honor to do this with you. I love what you're doing. I love your heart. I love your family, and I look forward to hearing from you around 4 o'clock today.
Yep. Sounds good, brother. Talk to you then. Love you, man.
Yeah, buddy. Love you too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow along with all of our adventures on Instagram at the Anthem of the Adventurer and on our blog, anthemoftheadventurer.com. We'll have our monthly adventure challenges continuing into the new year, and we have just a few episodes left of the podcast before it takes a bit of a rest starting in 2022. So if you're listening to this in November and December of 2021, make sure that you sign up for all of our email updates so you don't miss a thing while the team and I write the book. So enjoy the last few episodes, sign up for all the email updates, and we'll see you out there.